Lord, I just pray to be at the Sunday school hour as we just look through the wordless book and we look through, Father, how it can be used for your good and your glory. And Lord, I just pray you just be with each one now. I pray, Father, you just draw us closer to you. And Lord, just pray you just be with the services today. Lord, may it just be a special time, Lord, a sweet time in your house. Father, may you meet with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has everyone gotten one of these? If you didn't, we'll get you one, or you can grab one back on the lectern. And this is just for, listen, you can either keep this, or you can put it back when we're done, but I want you to see it. Sometimes having the physical, illustrative piece in your hand just kind of helps as we walk through, what this is. And so what we're going to do is we're taking this hour this morning and just discussing a little bit and kind of, even doing some teaching training as we should, around the walking stick ministry and what it is. What it is and what it's going to be used for and how it works, right? And so I have an example of one of them up here. If you say, Pastor, I can't see it very well, well, stay after lunch and you get to handle as many as you want, right? We're going to some saw them downstairs. We're going to finish staining. We've got about 90 or so stained, but then we're going to assemble also the lanyard and the bracelet, of course, and put everything together. All right. And so that'll be after the afternoon service today. But you'll kind of be able to see that and feel and touch, et cetera. So just this for me, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. I want to try to answer this question, and I don't know if I've done a good job of it so far, right? So that's part of why just taking the time right now and just kind of walking through what this is, answering the question, why are we doing this, right? It's an investment. It's an investment financially, but it's a bigger investment with time and energy and effort. And I want to just share this as an example, and I'm not trying to pick us apart. I'm not trying to have a mean spirit about anything. Hopefully you know me better than that by now. Since we've been at the church, our family, God called us here about 2.5 years ago. And since then, we've had several areas to impact our community for Christ, and God is blessing, and it's been a wonderful thing to see. Last year, we did the Easter egg hunt, and for those who were there, you remember we tried to bring everyone in at the last minute and tried to share the gospel. And I'll just be honest, it went over like a lead balloon. Right? And it wasn't because of the gospel, it was just because of the environment and what was going on and the busyness and all those things. But we've also done things like the parades and we've done all those different outreaches. And they're good and they're not that we shouldn't do them. But here's something the Lord just kind of pricked my heart about, is and convicted me on personally, is why are we doing what we're doing? Are we being an effective outreach tool to our community? And just to be very candid, and I mean, when I say outreach, I don't mean telling people the church is here, right? That's one step, and it's an important step. People need to know that we're here, but more than that, an effective outreach ministry is telling people the gospel, right? Telling people the good news. And just to be very honest, that's something that, and I won't say we haven't done it. I don't mean to beat anything up or be ignorant about anything, but I believe we can do better. Right? And that's really kind of the heartbeat behind this ministry and why we're doing it and just what that looks like. So Matthew chapter 28, look at verses 19 through 20, the verses you're very familiar with. And this is the first answer as to why we do this. What is this passage called? A Great Commission. All right. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is a very typical passage for missions, right? But it's not just for missionaries, as far as the missionaries we think of that are, you know, in Africa or India or around the world. Certainly it applies to them, but listen, it applies to all of us. I've had pastors, I've had people tell me, well, the only way to fulfill that part of the Great Commission is go and do door knocking or going and do this or going and do that. Well, that's not biblical, right? To fulfill the Great Commission is simply to go and tell. Right? Again, what are we telling people? We're telling people the good news of the gospel. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Can anyone tell me why those places were listed, just from a geographical standpoint. It was the known world. Yeah. Roger? Yeah. So it started local, right? Jerusalem's their hometown. West Bend, Jackson, the Hartford, this surrounding area, that's our Jerusalem. And then when it says about going on to Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, that's like saying, all right, you start here, and then you go to Wisconsin, and then you go to the United States, and then you go to the uttermost parts of the world. You spread that word. And here's something that oftentimes has been missed and mistaught and misbelieved, is that the Great Commission is for going around the world. Well, it is, but it needs to start with what? Going across the street. It needs to start right here and right now. And so this is one of those tools as far as how we are commanded to fulfill the Great Commission. What we're supposed to do. We need to be missionaries to our Jerusalem. And we need to be very forthcoming in that mission. We need to have a passion and a burden, desire in that mission. So just to think about those things, you say, well, why are we doing, walking sticks? What's the purpose? Really, the objective with this is one thing. It's very evangelistic in nature. It's about seeing souls saved. And I'll talk more about it in just a little bit. I would love to stand here and tell you that by doing this, we'll see our church grow and we'll see people come and be part of the church. Is that the desire? Absolutely. Will it happen? I don't know. I can't give a guarantee. The only guarantee we have is from the Word of God, from what God tells us, right? Has anyone ever been part of a bus ministry before? Whatever capacity, you understand what that means. Hopefully you understand. And anyone who's involved in a bus ministry, or that's a big part of the church's outreach and so forth, does a bus ministry really bring families in and grow the church? Not usually. You get some here and there, and that's wonderful, but really it's an evangelistic tool, right? It's about bringing kids in and teaching them the Word of God and hopefully seeing them saved and teaching them. But oftentimes it doesn't bring in their family. Sometimes, but not usually the case. And that's kind of the direction behind the walking stick. Would we love to see people come in? Absolutely. Would we love to see them join the church and grow in the... Absolutely. That is the desire behind this. But at the same time, I don't want to give you a false impression coming into things, right? Let's just set this at the baseline. Listen, this is a tool to share the gospel. That's what it's about. Now, I've had people ask me, well, why are we doing walking sticks, right? It's the wordless book. We can use that anyway. And we can. And we will. Does anyone have a thought why we're using a walking stick? You already know the answer. Adam? No. So are we doing it because that's the theme, or is that the theme because we're doing, go ahead. Dean? Attention getter? Absolutely. Let me just explain it maybe this way. I'm a tool guy, right? I worked in home improvement for 20 years, so that certainly makes an impact. And, I just like tools. I like going through a tool store and just looking and like smelling them and, I like big tools and I like little tools, the gadgets. And even in the kitchen, when I help in the kitchen, I'm always thinking about what gadget do we need that would make this job easier? I like tools. I just do. You might not, and that's fine if you don't. But this is essentially what the walking stick is. It's a tool. Right? As Dean said, it's an attention getter, right? If you put up a sign that says free walking stick, you're going to get people's attention. It is simply a tool to draw people in to have that conversation. We'll talk more about the conversation next week. We probably won't get very far into that today. But it's simply just that. It's a tool to bring people in that we're going to use for evangelism. That's the purpose behind it. You can argue, and I don't disagree, it's not the only tool that we could use. Right? There's a lot of different formats and platforms and themes that you can do, and that's fine. I'm not saying it's the best tool or the only tool, but here's what I am saying. It's an effective tool. It's a proven tool, right? I've known a couple different groups that have done this. Has anyone ever heard of Christian Farmers of America? One? Just one? Two? Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. They started doing something similar to this. Years ago, they used to use a really nice yardstick and put the wordless bracelet on, and now they've kind of transitioned into the walking stick. Child Evangelism Fellowship, who is the organization in which Good News Club comes from that we're involved with, they also have a ministry called the Fair Ministry. Our boys were involved in the Fair Ministry before we came out to Wisconsin. You say, what's the Fair Ministry? Well, it's real simple. They put a tent up at a fair. With me, right? And they would have face painting. Now, my boys did not do face painting. But then, while the kids were in line waiting to get their face painted, there's time there, right? So how do you think they use that time? They would give away a wordless bracelet, a wordless book bracelet, and not just give it away, but simply say, hey, let me just tell you what this means, and went through what we're seeing here today. And that week, I think they saw a couple dozen kids get saved and one or two adults as well. I have mentioned this before, and maybe you've heard me say it, maybe you haven't, but Bible Baptist Church in Florida, the church that we went to, when we were there, they didn't have this ministry, but since then they've started it. And now they have a unique situation, and I understand that fully. I'm not trying to emulate them. I'm not saying that we're going to be getting to these numbers or levels. They're a high snowbird area, and so it really goes very well. It's like having the fair every week at the flea market they go to. But in the last few years, they have produced and given away over 10,000 of these sticks. They've seen hundreds of people get saved literally from all over the country. And so again, it's an effective tool when used properly. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But think about this when used properly, right? It's one thing having the right tool for the job. If I'm a carpenter, and I'm not, I like woodworking and so forth. I don't pretend to be good at it, but I do enjoy it. And if I'm a carpenter, have you ever seen any of those videos where like someone's got a reciprocating, you know what a reciprocating saw is? Right? It's the automatic thing that goes back and forth and they cut wood or pipe or whatever. Have you ever seen the videos where someone's there and they're using it manually? You know what I'm saying? It's a funny thing, like it's a spoofy thing, right? They're using the tool incorrectly. They're using the tool ineffectively. It's still getting the job done, but they're working really hard at it. Like any tool, we've got to have the right tool for the job, but we also need to be effective in how we use it. Right? So when we talk about the walking sticks, we talk about the wordless book, it's a matter of, that's why we're taking this time right now, is to help train and teach and help people understand how we do it. The last thing we want to do is show up at the Easter egg hunt or some other event we do this and people are like, I don't know, here's a stick. It's not very effective, is it? We want to be effective. We want to be, just have that confidence in what we're doing and how we're doing. So today we're going to go through the wordless book. Now let me ask you a question. How many have ever used, heard of, or know about the wordless book? All right, that's just about everybody, most people. That's wonderful. So a lot of this might be old hat for you, right? You might be familiar, but if I want to challenge you to just think about it, pray about it, and I really believe God will teach you something today. I'm going to give some instructions on the how behind it, right, along with the why as far as what we do and how we do it. Now, here's one misconception is a lot of times people think, well, that's a great tool for kids, but it doesn't work on adults. All right. Listen, the wordless book, if I was going to sum it up this way, it's simply sharing the gospel. And if we share the gospel, it's effective for anyone and everyone. Regardless of age or background or where you're from or what you do, it's an effective tool. Now, does the conversation look different between talking to someone who's 5 years old and someone who's 50 years old? Probably, right? Maybe it depends on their level, you know. But that looks a little different. Again, we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. So I just want you to think through these things as we go through. Again, there's these in the back. If you want to grab one, you can. If not, you can grab one on your way out. If you don't want to keep it, just give it back because these do cost money. And again, we are attaching one of these to every stick. Okay, and that's why I just want you to see it as far as what we're doing. The front has our church and has our information, so they know where to go and what it is. In the back, it goes through the wordless book. It goes through the same things we're going to go through right now. Okay? Before we do this, does anyone have any questions or thoughts? You're thoughtless. No, just kidding. You need coffee? Wait. There's coffee and donuts downstairs, so the quicker we get through, Well, I won't be quick. But anyway, so the first one, who can tell me what the first one is? Sin. Okay. So we're going to call the first one the dark page. I know it's not a page, but the top one there, right? Now listen, I'm just going to be very candid with you why. Number one, nowhere in the Bible does God ever say sin is black. It is a very cultural thing that we do. Sin is referred to or described as crimson. Sometimes, and this is some of the connection here, where it says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, right? We don't want to say black, and I'm just being very candid, in our culture, in our society, it's just not something we want to do. Why? Because it can be offensive. You say, well, it's not offensive to me, Pastor. Well, it's not to me either, but listen, here's why we don't want to be offensive. Because if I offend somebody that could be receptive to the gospel, I'm losing them. So sometimes we just need to retrain ourselves a little bit with this, right? So the first one's the dark slide, and it refers to sin. What do you think the first thing important to do when you're explaining this process to somebody is to do, right? So the dark one stands for sin. Define sin, right? How do we define sin? You hold on. If you're in Good News Club, you better know this answer by now. Teeny. Anything that goes against the Word of God. So here's how we define it at Good News Club, and it's exactly that. It's anything that we think, say, or do that breaks God's law, right? Or goes against God's Word. That's what sin is, right? In the world we live in, that's a very broad thing, right? Because there's a whole lot that breaks, that goes against the Word of God. Larry.
A sinner is lost in this world, and when he dies, he goes off into hell. I believe I haven't seen any place in the Bible where it says that they can see people around them. It's in darkness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, hell is a dark place. Absolutely. Absolutely. We won't go down that rabbit trail today, but absolutely, right? The two scriptures that are on there is Romans chapter 3, verse 23. So if we say, well, the first page is dark and that represents sin, and we've taken the moment to explain what sin is, then we need to answer the next question. Well, who's a sinner? Well, Romans 3, 23 says what? For all have sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. Right. And this is where we take the time. And again, I know this is kind of rudimentary for us. I understand. But if you take it from this perspective, here's what we need to be careful of, folks. Well, I know this. Well, praise God. I'm glad you do. But why are we doing this? Because they don't know it. Right. So taking that time to explain, listen, everyone has sinned. Every single person who's ever walked this planet and whoever is or whoever will walk, save Jesus Christ. We've all sinned. That means that you've sinned. That means that I've sinned, right? Don't be afraid to say, listen, I'm a sinner. I admit it, right? And then you can even ask the question. So you can say, well, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, Paul, if it says for all have sinned, does that mean that you've sinned? Most of the time, people will say yes. Now, sometimes when they're an adult, they hesitate or they try to justify. Right? Well, I'm not that bad. Or my sins aren't as bad as someone else's. The piece for this, the important impact here, is that we want to just stress, listen, but you're still a sinner, right? Even if you've only committed one sin, and no one has, only one, even if it's only one, you're still a sinner. No matter how grotesque it is or isn't. Then Romans 6:23, it says, or the second part of that verse, it says, for the wages of sin is death. Right? And we take the time to explain, because that doesn't make sense to an unbeliever, does it? Well, I'm going to die. Well, I'm going to die anyway. Everyone dies. Right? But explain, listen, that death isn't just a physical death. That death is your spiritual death. You were born into sin, and I was too. And because of that, when we die, we're destined to go to one of two places. But because of our sin, we deserve to go to hell. right? And helping people understand that a little bit better as far as what that means. That because of sin, there's both that physical and that spiritual separation from God, right? Is hell a horrible place? Absolutely. The Bible speaks of it. But here's the point that I would challenge us. And again, sometimes this, that we need to change some of our thinking behind it. You know the worst part of hell? Or do you know why hell is so bad? Separated from God. She's been through Good News Club. Hell is so horrible because it's the absence of God. Remember last week we talked about some things aren't, like darkness isn't a thing. It's the absence of a thing. Hell is hell because it's the absence of God. And we want to make sure people understand that. Why? Because hell wasn't made for people. It was made for the devil and his fallen angels. Then we have the next slide, right? What's the next one stand for? The blood of Jesus, right? The blood of Jesus. The scripture here is Romans 6:23b. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. I know there's a typo on the card. All right. It went through a lot of hands. It was missed. Don't look for it. It's fine. All right. But someone's going to see that and point it out. Just don't. It's a, you know. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's two pieces to this verse that's very important that we take some time and we explain. Now, when I say we explain, again, we'll talk about the conversation a little bit more next week. It depends on people's receptivity, right? If they're really into things, you can go a little bit deeper, especially an adult. If they're kind of just barely hanging on, we need to keep that conversation moving a little bit more. But the two very pertinent things, one is that it's through the blood of Jesus Christ, right? That is because of who Jesus is. If they don't get anything else, they need to understand that Jesus is God, right? Jesus is the Son of God. The second piece here, and this is the one that, again, if people were kind of bought into it, is that gift. Right? I've shared this illustration different times, and usually it connects well with people. If I have a present here, Timmy, if I have a present here, and it's wrapped up, and it looks awesome, and it says, to Timothy Kiekhafer. I don't know your middle name. Timothy Kiekhafer. When does that gift become yours? When you receive it. If I have that gift and I'm holding it and I say, Timmy, this is your gift, man. This is your gift. It doesn't become his until he comes and he receives it. But you see, the free gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, it's there for anyone and everyone, but they have to receive it. Right. And so sometimes it's important to just touch on what that gift is or what it is to receive that gift. Then Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, pointing everything back to Jesus Christ, that it's because he died on the cross and that his blood was shed and that he was buried and he rose again, proving who he was, that we can be saved. Ultimately, it's Christ's great love for us was shown when he died on the cross to pay our sin debt, right? That it was Jesus' shedding of blood. The next one, all right? So we have the next page. What do we call this? Right? It's the clean page. Again, let's just stay away from, you know, black or white or anything else. Let's focus on the clean. Why? Because the Bible tells us that. That is, our sins are washed away. We were made new, right? And it's that forgiveness. It's ultimately that Christ's blood or his sacrifice gave us forgiveness for our sins. 1 John 1:9. This puts it back on the person. All right. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to admit that we're a sinner. And if we admit we're a sinner, Christ will forgive us of our sins. He will cleanse us. He will make us a new creature in Christ. What do you think is something really good to focus or stress on this point, especially for an adult? No matter how big or how little. One thing that I hear fairly often from, especially from adults, is, well, if you knew what I did, you would know that I God can't forgive that. Right, or that type of idea, right? And to stress, to focus, listen, it doesn't matter how many times you sinned. In our mindset, it doesn't matter how big or little. And by the way, that's not biblical, okay? But it is the mentality. So that's why we touch on it. It doesn't matter what you've done. God still wants to forgive you of your sin. God still wants to save you. God still wants you to be in heaven forever with Him. And helping people understand that, because that's one of the biggest things that people struggle with. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What do you think we emphasize in that verse? Whosoever. Why? I don't talk that way today. Whosoever is anybody and everybody, right? There's no limit to who that is. God, and we don't want to go down this rabbit trail and be very careful of it, but there are religions today that believe, well, God chose you, but not you. No. It's not what the Bible says. That whosoever is anybody, everybody, as long as they choose to accept Christ as their Savior, they ask God to forgive them their sins and to save them, God will do that. There's no limit to God's love, right? So make sure that we, that's a, just another piece to emphasize right there. Yes, ma'am.
Sin can't be in heaven.
Can't be around God. Absolutely. And again, I'm not giving you, my intent behind this isn't to give you must do everything this way. I'm just trying to highlight some of the things we want to make sure we focus and emphasize. And every conversation will be different, right? Every time we have that will be slightly adjusted depending on questions they ask or things like that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. As well. The next screen, what is that one? It's green. What's it stand for? Growth. Hopefully, one day when we do this, they'll actually be green outside. Right? Springtime's a great time to be able to explain this. What do you think growth talks about? Spiritual growth. Yeah. The spiritual growth, to grow closer to Christ. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Growing with the emphasis of this. The point behind growth is for our benefit, for our good, for God's glory, right? That we want to grow closer to Him. We want to grow closer to be more like Christ. Right? That God wants the best for us. He wants to see us grow. He wants to see us become more like Him, to be more obedient to Him, to be in His Word more, and to become more like the person of Jesus Christ. That's the point of growth. Sometimes it's good to explain to people, again, we're talking about unbelievers here, right? Or maybe, potentially a new believer. That's something we continually work for. Can we ever attain it? Not this side of heaven, right? But that should be our desires, to grow closer to God. Sometimes I've used the illustration of, if it's a kid, I'll use the illustration, whether it be husband and wife or whether it be, you know, father and child or mother and child, that, you know, do you love your mom and dad? Well, sure. Well, how do you get closer to them? Well, you spend time with them. You do things together. And well, that's what spiritual growth is. It's serving God. It's being in His Word. It's talking to Him. And then the last one is what? Heaven, right? The gold, it reminds us of heaven. There's a couple of things that we can kind of focus on here. 1 John 5:13, the latter part says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. This is something people battle today. I would say for a new believer, young believer, for somebody who's teetering on the point of accepting Christ, man, is eternal security. is understanding that, listen, God's promise, why we desire to get, why He wants us to get saved is so that one day we'll spend forever with Him, right? To be in heaven forever with Christ. One of the big pieces here, folks, is remember, listen, once we're saved, once we've asked Jesus to save us, we'll be in heaven with Him forever, right? And we can't ever lose that, that you may know you have eternal life, life forever in heaven with Jesus. Now, again, based upon the person's age or maturity or lack thereof, again, that conversation will get tweaked a little bit and get adjusted depending on kind of where they're at with things. And then the last part on here is the sinner's prayer. I'll be very honest. I really wrestled whether or not we put this on here. All right. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. If you're doing this with somebody, the intent isn't for them to read this as a rote prayer. Really, the reason I did have them put this on here, if they take it home and they basically kind of go through things themselves, all right, that's really why we put it on there. You say, why? Why does that matter? I don't for a moment want somebody to think that if they don't say these magical words, that they're not saved. So if we have that opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord and listen, ask for it. Say, you know, and again, we'll talk about the conversation. I'm trying not to dig or go too far ahead. And, you know, ask, hey, is this something, do you have any questions about it? Is this something you'd like to make personal today, your walk with Jesus? I don't want anyone to think, again, it's a magical thing. Why? Because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't give us the, you have to say these words to be saved, right? And I'm so glad it doesn't. What do we have to do to be saved? Believe in your heart. Of what? Who Jesus is. The one encouragement I would say is this. Make sure we're always focusing on Jesus. Okay? And here's why. Too many people, especially in our society today, oh, I believe in God. They don't know. They're thinking of a small g oftentimes. They don't distinguish or delineate that. We want to focus on the deity of Christ. We want to focus on who Jesus is. We want to focus on why He came. We want to focus on His sacrifice. We want to focus on His resurrection and why He did that for us to be saved. Right? So if you have that opportunity to lead someone to Christ, is that when they pray, now if they need some help and they want to pray these words, that's fine. It's there. It's a tool. Okay? But after the prayer, here's something very important to do. Now, let me just ask you a question. What does that mean to you? Let me ask you a question. If you would die today, where would you spend eternity? Make sure they have an understanding of what they did. I think one of the most detrimental things that's happened in the church, and I'll use that as a very broad term, especially these last several decades, probably the last 50 years, give or take, is we really push very hard for kids to say the prayer at a young age. And then when they do, it's, oh, praise God, they're saying, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. But so many then question later, was it personal? I don't even remember doing it. I don't even remember this. I don't remember that. I don't remember any of it, right? It needs to be a personal decision for them. Do we want to encourage them to make the decision? Absolutely. Do we want to pressure them to do it? Absolutely not, right? We want it to be something just between them and the Lord, okay? So I've got 3 minutes and 40 seconds left. Does anyone have any questions or any thoughts towards what we've talked about so far? Again, the conversation we'll talk more about next week because there's a lot of different directions that can go. We won't be able to cover all those things. We'll talk some specific things with the walking sticks, but anything, observation, question, thought, input? You just want coffee. All right. So here's what I'm going to encourage you, challenge you to do for next week. We're going to take a portion of our time and go through the conversation of the walking stick and just kind of what that looks like and how we present it to people, right? I'll give you one really quick illustration of what I mean. If we have signs up that say free walking stick and we've got barrels of walking sticks and we're standing there, what do you think people are going to ask when they come up? What's the catch? What do I have to do? How much does it cost? Right? And so the real simple answer to that is, there's no catch. If you give me 5 minutes to talk to you, I'd love that. Well, I don't want to talk to you. Do I still get a stick? What's the answer? Yeah. Sure. Here you go. Absolutely. Right? And we'll talk more about those things next week, but I just want to kind of plant that in your minds. I would ask you to do this, is do or work on chapter 12 of your continue book. All right. Depending on how many questions there are next week, I'd like to touch on that and start it. Why? That's the chapter towards outreach. Okay. So do chapter 12 of your continue book. If you don't have one, there's still some copies. Grab one if you need one. Debbie first. So the first time we have planned to do this is at the Easter egg hunt. The next time we have planned to do this is the July 4th parade. Now, we won't do it during the parade. For those who were there last year, 2 years ago, we did the parade with a float, and it was hot. Last year, we set up a table or a couple tables at the Regner Park, where kind of a lot of people come after the parade. And we did balloon animals. We did face painting. And so that's where we'll set those up. Now, where else could we do it? Oh, that list is really long. Those are the two times we have planned for now. A couple reasons. They take work to do. You know, it takes a lot of effort, and so we need some more hands to help with those things, you know, down the road, which we're doing some today. And frankly, too, we're going to see how it goes, right? Just because it works in one location, we'll see how it goes for us. If we're going to invest the time and the effort and the money in those things. But the most important thing, listen, folks, we could give out 1,000 of these. That's easy to do. But are we able to do those conversations? Right? And we don't want to miss that. That's the point. We can give out tracts anywhere, all day, all the time. And we should. But this is meant to be that next step. Right? And you'll be amazed how many people are open to the conversation, especially in this area. Right? Why in this area? Because most people in our area, they consider themselves very religious. So they're willing to listen. Now, you're from a church? Oh, that's what we love what you're doing. And that's good. But that gives us that open door to just have a conversation with them. Right? So, but great question. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes. Hello. I just try not to look at Adam as much as I can. But anyway.
this might be a very obvious question, but I'm assuming that the Easter egg hunt is not for children.
So for children, at any of these events, we have the walking sticks, and then we also have wordless book bracelets that we'll use as a craft to use with the kids. Yeah. Nope. Great question. Yeah. They're already in my office. Yeah. Yeah. And we will talk about it next week. Like, they're as long as they are for a reason. They're not a weapon. They're not a club. Right? Seriously, we need to protect our... Yeah, they're not a lightsaber. They're not, you know... It's for a reason, and we'll talk about some of that next week. Now, listen, if a kid really, really wants one and their parent comes up, I'll give it to dad, you know, or mom or whatever. But again, there will be some of those guardrails. Yeah.
Just don't
whoever's standing next to them. Yeah. No. Robbie.
For people that don't, they just want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So it can also be used that way, right? If you like to hike, you know, you can have one. And here's what I would encourage you. Now, listen, please don't just say, oh, I'm going to take one of these. Let's wait till after our event first. All right. I don't know if we can give 100 out to our church yet. I'm not saying never, but just we want to make sure we have plenty for that. But yeah, you could use it. You're hiking. Hey, what is that? You know what? Let me just give it to you. All right. You could do it on the walking trail. It doesn't have to be in an event. Absolutely. Keith, did you have something or no?
I just saw advertising what set they have sticks, but they have the end for spear, and they can throw it at a tree or they go after
the... You see, you're the problem.
We're going to give you an example next week.
It is, and I'm serious about this to a degree, for legal purposes, it is a walking stick. Okay? And they're all oak and maple. Like, they're really good. We were able to get the stick donated. I've had people ask me this question, how much does it cost? Right now, the cost of material is about $1.50 for a stick. All right? Now, there's some other expenses you could still, you know, as far as like bits and blades and stuff, but it's still less than $2 a stick, which is very reasonable for what it is. Right? So, we'll pray, and then you can go have donuts and coffee. Father, thank you for the day you've given. I thank you for the time in your house. I just pray, Lord, for this ministry, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you would just use it for your glory and honor. Lord, may we be an effective tool for you. May we have the heart and the desire to reach the lost, Lord, for their personal salvation. And we just give it to you. Bless our time now. Lord, bless our services to come. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.